Hey, today is a Sunday, June 5th, third day of the month of Sivan. This is the Gemara Shir. We're up to Sukkah Daf Mem Beis Omud Aleph. Okay, Rabotai. We're on Daf Mem Beis Omud Aleph, in the middle of the sugya of parental responsibilities vis-a-vis their child. Just several ha'arot on the couple of cases which we've already looked at. Number one, if you look at the Braisa, about 10 lines from the bottom, the Braisa said, Tana Rabbanan, Katan Hayodea Lina Anea, Chayev Belulav, Lehisatev Chayev Betzitzis, Lishmar Tfilin, Oviv Lokeach Lotfilin, Yodea Lidaber, Oviv Mlomdo Torah Vikriyashma, Torah Mahi, Amar Rav Amnuna Torah Tzivalonu Moshe, Marasha Kilas Yaakov, Kriyishma Mahi Pasuk Rishon. That's what we read thus far. So a couple of he'arot. Mordechai adds, if you look in our Gemara in its example concerning tzitzis, it says, Lihisatev, meaning a katan hayudei lihisatev, says our brisa chayiv betzitzis. He's obligated in tzitzis. In Yerushalmi, the Mordechai points out, the version reads katan hayudei lihisatev oviv lokeach lotalis. Father is obligated to purchase for him a talis. So the Mordechai says he prefers the Bavli's version over the Yerushalmi's version, where the Bavli says chayiv betzitzis versus the father's versus the Yerushalmi, which says father is obligated to purchase a garment for him. Why, says the Mordechai, do I prefer it? Because let me ask you this: are you and I obligated to purchase a talis? Absolutely not. Why? If you happen to have a four-cornered garment, you're obligated to wear tzitzis. If you don't have a four-cornered garment on, you're not chayiv to wear tzitzis. So even if your child was an adult, you would not be obligated to purchase for him a talis. So therefore, he says, our braisa, the Bavli, is very meduyak. It says, a katan is if he knows how to make ituf, and he's wearing a four-cornered garment, he's chayiv to put tzitzis on it. But there is no parental obligation to go ahead and do so to put tzitzis on it. However, he adds, and the Mordechai is one of the first Rishonim to introduce it. Since it has become our practice to wear tzitzis all the time, namely the talis katan, the talis katan doesn't exist in the Gemara. There is no reference to it whatsoever. The Rambam never heard of talis katan. The obligation of a talis is to wear a long talis, wear it all day, just as one would be wearing a tefillin, his tefillin all day. When it became impossible because of economic conditions to do so, people stop wearing their talis all day, and they stop wearing their tefillin all day. So therefore, the Mordechai says that there was a practice started in certain communities that you would wear a talis katan specifically to make you obligated and thereby fulfill the mitzvah of tzitzis. There's no other reason to putting on that four-cornered garment other than making you chayiv and tzitzis. Because you can go very nicely without that throughout your whole life and not be missing anything, and you will still win one of the best 10 dressed people in America even without those four-cornered garment things. So you're only doing it for one reason: to create the chiyuv of wearing a talis so that you will now be able to put tzitzis on. In light of that, says the Mordechai, I would appreciate and recognize what the Yerushalmi now says. Since there is now a custom to introduce a chiyuv upon ourselves, therefore now father, in order to train his child, should purchase him a beged and put tzitzis on it. So the Mordechai says it's elu ve'elu. Me'ikar hadin, I like the Bavli much better because there is no technical chiyuv to wear tzitzis. It's only a situational mitzvah. If you happen to have arba kanfos on, you're obligated to place tzitzis. So therefore it would not say oviv chayiv liknos lo talis. However, now that we've gone through a change in practice and we look to obligate ourselves with the tzitzis by putting on a four-cornered garment, then he says, I would appreciate if everybody would follow the Yerushalmi, and when it's yodea lehis atef, he should be is chayiv betzitzis. And yeah?
Doesn't the Gemara in Brachos give some type of effect that even though there is a expectation that you put on, that we find a way to put on the doubt.
So in that context, school of kol mitzvos. I know.
So in that context, the Yerushalmi stands on its own, even for a talis kazus.
Correct.
It would be okay. Thing to do.
Right, but I hear his point. First of all, he noticed the difference, right, which is important. And I hear what you're saying. There's no doubt. I'm not minimizing the fact that the Gemara goes out of its way to encourage us, even before there was a practice of a talis katan, to encourage everybody to wear a talis. You know, tzitzis is shkula kenega kol mitzvos, and so on and so forth. It's an easy mitzvah to perform, no doubt.
Is Mordechai referring to a talis katan?
Yes, he makes reference to that. He says, now that it's our practice to wear a talis, he says that, yes.
So,
yes.
When you say chayav,
in fact, he's one of the first we showing him to mention it. Yeah.
When the verse says chayav l'chisatek, doesn't it imply that what we do, like etuf, with in other words, it's that, so...
Correct. That's correct. It's obviously lehis atef is a real talis. Correct. And the Magen Avraham points out that it's not just lehis atef. It's also to wear it properly. Shtayim lefaneha or shtayim la'achreha. To have two corners in front and two corners in back. Not to just take the talis and wrap it on like a scarf, and all four tzitziyot are hanging in the front. That's part of the Magen Avraham points that out. That's part of wearing a garment. Typically, a four-cornered garment was worn that way, a poncho and things like that. That's the way they used to wear it. We're having two corners in the front and two corners in the back. That he believes is part of the definition of katan hayodea lehisatef. That's correct. Kimitzvaso. Completely kimitzvaso. Magen Avraham points that out.
Is this the source for some of those who wear talis gadol by after bar mitzvah? Or is that a separate issue?
No. There is no doubt that al pidin, every child after bar mitzvah should be wearing a talis gadol. There's no doubt. No place in Shas, any place in Shas, or in Rishonim, is it mentioned that you don't wear a talis until you get married? And indeed, Eidot HaMizrach, Yekis, all wear a talis as soon as they come bar mitzvah. And part of Chinuch, they start earlier. Because of Chinuch, they start earlier. Yeah, right? I wore a talis when I was a kid. I used to wear a talis all the time. Then when you got a little older, it became a little more sensitive. None of my friends are wearing it. You know, a little funny, but okay. But anyhow, they always used to. The business that you don't wear it until you're married has very late tracings and late mention. Achrayim mention it. No source in Rishonim or Gemara, and it's based on the Smichas Hapsukim in Parshas Kiseitze, where Kidilim tasa lecha al arba kanfos kisuscha asher techaseba. The next pasuk is ki yikach ish isha, so to get married. So therefore, they saw a connection between getting married and wearing a talis. That became the popular practice in Minag Ashkenaz, but there's no base on the Rav always used to say, people ask him, he said, put on a talis after bar mitzvah. He always used to tell, at least that's what, if you ask them to do that. Ask them to do that. That's point number one.
I think even the Mishnah Berurah says.
Could be.
Kabbalah had the bar that people don't.
Yeah?
And he, I think, cites the Maharal.
That you should.
No.
That people don't. Bella, right.
The reason why.
Right. Okay, but that's late.
But he said.
The Maharal's late.
Yeah.
Right. Point number two, the Brisa says, Katan Hayodea Lishmor tfilav, somebody who knows how to guard his tefillin, aviv lokeach lo tefillin. Aviv lokeach tefillin. Number, listen to this sequence of two Rambams. Sequence of two Rambams, which emphasize the role of Shmirah by tefillin. Perek Dalid, Halacha Yud Dalid of Hilchos Tefillin. Rambam writes, Chayav Adam Lemashmesh Bitfillin Kolzman She Odon Olav. A person should touch his tefillin all the time while his tefillin are on. We have introduced in our davening, minhag, that at certain times during the davening, we ask you, Pesach Shedecha must be the Charatzon. Some people, Yotzer Oru Varechayshech, certainly Ukshartam Leosa Yedecha, Vedetatavaninecha, no doubt. There's no Kiyum HaMitzvah in doing that at these psukim. It's nice. But the Kiyum HaMitzvah is Limashmesh Bohen. Why? Shelo Yasiach Bohen. That you should not engage in any hesach hadas. How do you keep the fact in your mind that you are wearing tefillin and that your mind should not wander? You touch them all the time. That's the reason to be memashmesh. To keep your mind present that they are on you and therefore you should not be masiach das. Writes the Rambam. Why? Shekdusha san gedola mishel tzitz. The sanctity of the tefillin is even of greater sanctity than the tzitz which the Kohen Gadol used to wear on his forehead. And we know that the Kohen Gadol was not supposed to be Masiach Das when he was wearing the tzitz, so too here as well. Now this he writes in Halacha Yudalit. 11 halachas later, in Halacha Chafei, says the Rambam, Kedushas tefillin gedoyla hima'od. Sanctity of tefillin is great. Lefikach yishtadel lihiyoson alav kol hayoyim. One should make an effort to understand and make an effort to have tefillin on yourself, on your body, all day. Whole day. And then he writes, Amar alav al Rabbeinu HaGadol, Rabbi Yehuda HaNasi, Shilo holach dalet amos without talus and tefillin. Never went 4 amos without talus and tefillin. Very nice. So the Rav asked, why is it that the Rambam first tells us the halacha of Chayev Adam Lemashmesh Betfillin before he tells you that what? You should keep your tefillin on all the time. First he should say, you wear tefillin all day. Then gives you some of the details. Yeah, once they're on, keep touching it. He says it's related to this brisa. The reason why, one of the reasons why you need shmirat hatfillin is because kedushasan gedoyla hadmeayin. What generates the kedusha? The fact that there is a halach of shmira is result of the fact that it has kedusha. If it would not have kedusha, there would be no mitzvah of shmira whatsoever. So the awareness, what creates that element of wearing the tefillin all the time, not just that they're on you, but you engage in an action that what? That you're not going to be masiach das from those tefillin. Just to have them on you is of no consequence. It's to have them on you and to be aware of them. That's what makes the mitzvah a very special mitzvah. So before he tells you to put the tefillin on all day, he wants to alert you as to what that special quality of tefillin is, namely shmirah, and therefore you have to touch it all the time. Now if you understand that you have to be constantly aware and aware of your tefillin, then I'm telling you to wear it all day. But if you're not going to be capable, and that's the reason why we don't do so, if you're not going to be capable to be aware of Kedushas Tefillin all day, then it's not something that you should have on you all the time. Because it's a violation of the Kedushas Tefillin if you're going to be Masiach Das. So our practice of taking off our tefillin after davening is a result of the fact that we cannot fulfill the totality of the mitzvah. And the Rambam communicates that totality even before describing where, you know, the parameters of wearing the mitzvah. He wants you to understand them in full, completely in full, in full, in full. Point number three. We will read one more line of the Gemara. No, a couple of more lines of the Gemara. Then see a Tosfos, a couple lines in Tosfos, and then an incredible Baloitor. And then we'll get back to Tefillin, because the Ramah Pasans like this Baloitor, as we'll see in a minute. A couple of lines in the Gemara. And then we'll go back to something else. Says the Gemara, says the Brisa, Hayodea lishmor gufo, ochlin al gufo taharot. In the time of the Mishnah, as long as the Beis HaMikdash is standing, tumin tahara dinim are incredibly important. Incredibly important. Obviously, there is truma. You're not allowed to be metame truma. A kohen is not allowed to eat truma that has been nitma. You're not allowed to be metame masasheni. Obviously, korbanos. So when they want to illustrate an awareness of what people are committed to halacha, the example which the Gemara gives, that midan ad be'er sheva lo matzanu tinok shelo yada behilchas tumin tahara. That's the way to go out. When you want to explain it to a generation of when people are committed from Dan in the north to Be'er Sheva in the south, every little pisher knew the halachas of tumin tahara. So now, you have a question. You have an apple, okay? An apple which I was mafreshed as truma, and now a kid is around there, and we're not sure whether or not we see. Let's say there's a dead animal there, okay? A nevela. Did the apple touch the nevela or not? Is the truma tamea? Difference is the kohen have to burn it, or he should eat it. Very big difference. So now, if the child is yodeya lishmar gufo, if he is at least careful that his body shall not become tamei, he's careful with that, and if it does become tamei, he knows that he has to go to the mikveh and wait till harif shemesh, till sundown, in order to become tahar. Then, ochlin al gufo taharas. We are allowed to eat so Yisrael is allowed to eat that apple based on what the kid said. Kid said, you know what? The apple did not touch the nevela. It still remains tahar. So, ochlin al gufo taharot. You are allowed to eat taharot, you know, or something that remains tahar, based on his testimony. Because he understands and he's careful about it. But there's one thing that this little kid is still not yet as careful. He can't yet account for his hands. Hands, there is a secondary level of midurabanan that you have to have an extra precaution upon them because yodayim askanios hain, your hands are always touching things. So there's an extra awareness that did your hands touch something that might have made you tame or not? That requires a super level of awareness. So, in the first statement of the Brisa, it's only if he has achieved a level where he knows actively he did not become tameh. Actively. So that much he's aware of. He didn't touch an avela, he didn't go into a cemetery, things like that. But if you ask him, you know, did your hands happen to touch something, someplace that might make you tameh, touch a part of your body that would be inappropriate, he can't answer that question. So under those circumstances, if his hands necessarily came in contact with it, you could not get cannot rely on it. That's statement number one. But cut number two. Lishmor es yadav. But if he is so aware, this minor is so aware, that he even knows to wash his hands, and that every single time his hands would become possible tameh, he'd either wash them, whatever the din requires, either netilas yadayim or immersion in a mikveh, and he does that as well, then ochlin al yadav tahoros. Then we can eat, even if something comes in contact with his hands, we can trust him and say, you know what? What? It was I was tahar, I was tameh, no problem whatsoever. No problem whatsoever. Yeah.
Isn't that the first case also? Not that he's giving testimony whether the apple touched the sheretz, but whether the apple came in contact with his...
Correct. Body. That is correct. That is correct. But it also works both ways. I extended it. The technical thing is whether it came part of his body. But once he's established ne'emanus for that, he is allowed to offer ne'emanus in general. Not only didn't touch me, I know it never touched anybody. I was watching it. But you're right. Technically, if it touches him, it doesn't become tameh because he says I am tahar. Correct. Correct. Correct.
That's the same.
Correct. 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 Hayodea lishoel birushus hayachid sveiko tameh. Birushus harabim sveiko tahar. There is a din the following halacha. Following halach, that if there is an element of doubt, a suffek in relationship to tuma, did I become tame? Did I not become tame? The rule is in determining this: suffek tuma berushus hayachid is tame. Suffek tuma berushus harabim is tahar. That's the din. We learn it out from Sota, which we read yesterday. The Torah uses the expression v'nit ma'ah, if she had relations with this guy and became tameh. Well, where is this person having a relationship with this woman? Not in a park. He's having it where? In a private place. And based on the suffek, we go through the rigmarole of the din of sota. We have no guarantee that they had relations. If they were guaranteed they had relations, there's no hashkas me sota. Then you just prosecute and that's it. So for suffek, we implement the din of sota. So we now determine that all suffek, and it's a suffek, we have no guarantee that she had relations. Every single suffek has to be resolved in the manner in which the Torah has resolved what? The din of sota. There it's a suffek in a rishus hayachid, in a hotel room. Therefore, sveiko tameh. But if the suffek is generated in a public domain, that is not akin to the din of sota, and hence the rule is suffek tuma rishus harabim is tahar. So is the halacha. So now, if a kid is at least intelligent enough to ask the question, is this tameh? You know, if he's aware that he has to ask a question, what would be an interesting case? There are two paths to take. This is the illustration in the Gemara. There are two paths. In one path, there is definitely tuma, and you can't avoid it. In the other path, there is what? No tuma. He just doesn't remember which one he went. Which path did he take? So if we're talking about a rishus harabim, so then sveiko tahor. If it's in his house, and he said, you know, in this room, there's definitely tuma. This one's, I don't remember which one I went into. What's the din? So if at least he's intelligent enough to ask the question, I know that there is a tumah in here. I know that it's tahor in there. I just don't remember which one I went into. Then the halacha is safek tumah b'rishus hayachid is tameh, safek tumah b'rishus harabim is tahor. But what happens if he's not in a situation to ask? He's not in a situation to ask. What would you think the din is? He's too young. He doesn't know. He's not. So what now? Now somebody else thinks, oh, did he go in there? Did he go in there? But he doesn't have the capacity to ask. What happens now? It remains tahar.
Tahar? Oh, yeah.
Yes. Because it's not compared to what? The sota. Because by sota, what's the halak? What's the case? We could have asked her, did you have relations with him or not? Did you not? She's capable of providing some information. So every single sofek has to match the details of sota for us to determine the halacha. So this is what the Gemara says. Hayodea lishael berushas hayachid sveiko tame. Hariodea berushas harabim sveiko tahor. Now, there is an incredible machloikis Rambam versus all other Rishonim. I am sorry I didn't focus that. It's not a well-known source, but it's a well-known Rambam. In Perek Tes of Hilchos Tumas Meis, the Rambam writes, every single suffix according to Torah law is mutter. Every single suffix. Every single suffix is mutter min ha-Torah. The halacha speka de oraisa lechumra is a din de rabbanan. Only mit de rabbanan. Mida oraisa, every single suffek tuma is lakula. Every single one. Every single suffek. Every single suffek is suffek in Yoredeya. I have a suffek whether it absorbed something, did it fall in. Mutter 100%. Only mida rabbana generates a question. How does the Rambam learn this from? From the Gemara in Yevamos. Mamzer vadai amar rachmana v'loy mamzer safek. The Torah, Parshas Kisetze, when telling us that a mamzer is not permitted to enter b'kahal Hashem, so the Gemara darshins, who is not permitted to enter b'kahal Hashem? Only somebody who is definitely a mamzer. But somebody who is a safek mamzer is mida oraisa permitted to marry. The Rambam believes that that's a binyan av for everything else. So you'll ask, what about Sota? Sota is a dinda oraisa. Okay, so Ram says that's an exception. That's only by Sota. That's it. Why do you choose not to learn from Sota and learn from Mamzer? Akasha. And the Ravid on the spot says, Rambam, what are you talking about? That's a din by Mamzer. That Mamzer Vada, just the opposite. It's only a din by a Mamzer. That's a special drash. But the rest of the Torah is Sveka d'oraisa l'chumra. Midda oraisa. Midda oraisa. And the din of Mamzer is just an exception to the rule, not the rule itself. Fine. So here, the Gemara now says that if you know if this child happens to be intelligent enough to ask him a question, then you apply the laws, whether it's the Raisa or the Rabbanan, the normal resolution of laws of Tumah. It's an unusual resolution. Normally a din is either it's Asur or Mutter, it's Tumah or Tahar. But by Tumah we don't operate that way. It depends where the Safek originated. If it originated in Rosh Hashayachid, Safek is Tumah. If it originated in Rosh Hashayachid, Rabin, Safek is Tahar. Very unusual resolution. Yeah. One more line in the Braisa. Hayodea lifros kapov cholkin lo truma beis hagronos. If a Kohen knows how to make nesias kapayim, lifros kapov, if he knows how to make nesias kapayim, then when he comes to the granaries, you can distribute truma to him. If he's old enough to understand that, you can assume that what will happen, he understands the laws of Truma, and you're allowed to distribute directly to him. If he does not, Yodea Lifros is Kapov, then you are not permitted to distribute to him. You have to give it to his parents, and his parents will make the determination whether he can eat Truma or not. Of course, Halach, he's allowed to, if he's a Ben Kohen. But to whether or not he's, whether he's in a condition, Tom, well, you have to ask the Pop. But if Yodea Lifros Kapov, perfectly okay.
Is there anything that suggests that it would be based on Gronos, as opposed to...
I didn't see anything. I didn't see anything. I didn't see anything.
As opposed to where?
Well, because he's lighting truma anyway. Because he's a ben chori. So over here, it's something, it sounds like some special duty. I guess he learns like it.
Yeah, I'm not sure. So the... Yeah. See, what happens here is... the Beis HaGranos was a practical thing that the Kohanim used to come to the Granos because they wanted to get the Truma. See, normally the Truma is, I can give it to the Kohen, right? I can bring it to his house. But a Kohen and a Levi used to say, you know, I'm not waiting, I'm not going to rely on the fact that you're going to come to me. I'll be available as soon as you're there, it comes into the Goren, now it's Chayiv in Truma Samaisris. And now I'm right here. Would you like to go ahead and be available for me?
You mean right here?
Be available for me. Fine. Now, every Rishon is going to deal with the issue that what does this generate about a Katan's eligibility to engage in a Siyas Kapayim? This line. What does this generate about a Katan's eligibility to engage in the Siyas Kapayim? Just reading that price. Can he duchen or can he not duchen? What?
Yes.
Of course. Of course. Because we're talking about Katanim. So if a child, a minor, has reached the age where it's Yodea Lifos Kapov, how to do Birchas Katanim, then you don't have awareness. The problem that all Rishonim are going to deal with is that there's a Stam Mishnah in Megillah that says, Katan lo yises kapov. Please turn the page for a minute, because it's a long Tosfos. And the Tosfos is on the right hand side, it's in the middle of the Tosfos. So Tosfos quotes the Gemara in Chulin, it's also in the, he quotes both. It's the fourth narrow line. For the third narrow line, for Hada Amrinon Bishili Perakama de Chulin, Nismale Zikano, Raui Leoso Shliach Tzibur Vele Red Lifne Hateva, Velisa Eskapov. What are you going to do? What's Tysus' question? How can our Gemara say that a Kohen who has reached Chinuch, that he understands you, that is kenduchen, the Brisa says that when should he not be, till when should he not be duchening? Till when? Till the smale zikano, which is even older than bar mitzvah. Older than bar mitzvah. Or go even a couple of lines later, where Tosfos quotes the Gemara later on. V'chein sarachin v'hakaris ha-megillah, tinan, Katan kore batora, avolo pore salshema, velo yoreit lifnei ateva, velo nose eskapov. So all Rishonim ask two sources that say a katan is not permitted to duchen. So what's going on here? So Tosfos answers that the case is talking about two different cases. In a case where the katan is alone, he's the only kohen in shul, that's what the Mishnah in Megillah says, he should not duchen. Our Gemara, which says that you can educate and be mechanech a katan, is talking about the father, there are other kohanim in shul. If there are other kohanim in shul, a child will be able to duchen with them. But if he's the only kohen, it's ain no lichvod hatzibur to receive the bracha from a little kain punk. It's not going to, he's going to be mevarich us, this little punky. He's going to be mevarich us. So therefore he's alone. But if he's there are other people, that's the way Tosfos learns it. That if there is somebody with him, that's how Tosfos learns it. Ikalukma b'yichidi she'eni mo'acher. That's all. Einay mo'acher. That's how Tosfos resolves the conflict. Yes.
I mean, our Gemara just says Yodea. It doesn't tell me he should. It doesn't say the father should.
I understand. But the implication is if he knows how to do it, what's he going to be doing? Not sure. He'll do it. That's the implication.
Yeah,
No, it doesn't say that at all. It says if he knows how to do the Tzitzis Kapara, you can give him Truah.
I understand, but what I understand. So Tysus will say, what are you teaching him how to do the Tzitzis Kapara for?
Because he has to learn.
For when? So that like every other mitzvah.
For the day after.
Okay.
But Rashi's going to say that the basis for the Tzitzis Kapara is what gives other people, the grain owner, the knowledge that he can distribute to the katan, because he sees that he's going up. So
right.
Up,
How's the person going to know that his father trained him?
Right.
Right, that's correct. So that's how Tosfos handles it, and many Rishonim handle like that. Listen to the Baal HaItur. The Baal HaItur says that our whole Gemara has to change focus because of this line. Our whole Gemara has to change focus. Namely, we now up until believe that what were we dealing with? We're dealing with a minor who's below bar mitzvah. Says the Baal HaItur, absolutely not. The word katan in this Gemara means somebody's reached exactly 13 years old. He's a bar mitzvah boy. Now how far does he want to take it? His comment is made in Hilchos Tefillin. Baal HaItur in Hilchos Tefillin. And he writes, quote, Mistabra, it appears to me that the Gemara in Sukkah, which says, Katan hayodea lishmar tfilov, aviv konalo tfilin, is talking about a gadol. Mistabrali. How do I know? Because it says, Katan hayodea what? Lifros is kapov. And the Gemara in Chulin says, and in Megillah says, Katan ein enosei is kapov. Therefore, what must the word katan in our Gemara mean? An adult bar mitzvah boy. So just give me one second. And therefore he writes, that no minor should be putting on tefillin whatsoever. No minor should be putting on tefillin whatsoever. Says the Beis Yosef in Orachaim Simon Lamed Zayin, quote, Ve'eino chidai lahotzi habraisa midei pshuto. I don't think the Baal HaItur is worthy enough to what? To take the braisa out of its simple pshat. Every kid who will learn, not only kid, every adult who will learn this Gemara will interpret the word katan as a minor.
You shouldn't say
Kriya Shema Tefillah is a bar mitzvah. It's crazy. However, the Ramah in Darkei Moshe writes, V'haminog kibal ho'itur she'ein manichin haktanim ad shiyehei bar mitzvah dehainu yud gimel shanim v'yom echad. First day into their 14th year. And in Shulchan Aruch, of all places, the Ramah writes, V'chein nohagin, v'ein l'shanos. V'ein l'shanos. And yet, the overwhelming majority of the Ashkenaz world have been mishan. Almost everybody I know puts on tefillin at least a month before, maybe some 3 months before, but everybody puts on before the bar mitzvah. And yet, the Brahma cites this Baal HaItur, gives credit for the Baal HaItur, and for tefillin. He doesn't apply it any place else. No place else is anybody going to apply it halacha l'maisa, that we're talking about an adult. But in relationship to tefillin, where the Baal HaItur made his statement, and he brings the proof from Katan Hayodea, Lifros is Kapov, here suddenly the Baal HaItur makes his comment, and the Darkei Moshe, the Ramah, in his commentary on the Torah says that, and in Shulchan Aruch says, V'aminukei v'ein l'shanos. Don't change the practice. Don't change that practice. It's difficult to understand whether the Baal HaItur meant that the entire Braisa is to be interpreted in such a fashion. which would be logical if you're claiming that by tefillin it's to be interpreted that way, why would it not be for the rest of the dinim about a lulav and a talus and so on and so forth? However, and I'll take care of the yodei and the daber in a second. I'll take care of that in 2 seconds. Take care of that in 2 seconds with the next comment. But so is the din. So is the din. In fact, Rashi in Maseches Brachos, the Mishnah makes a statement, the last line of Daf Chaf Amud Aleph. Nashim ve'avadim uktanim pturin minakriya shmena tefillin. That's what the Mishnah says. Women, slaves, and children are exempt from the mitzvah of kriyishma and tefillin. Says Rashi, afilu katan shehigia lechinuch, lo heitilu al aviv lechancho b'mitzvah tefillin. Even if the child has reached the age of chinuch, we have not imposed an obligation of chinuch vis-a-vis the mitzvah of tefillin. So Rashi says that as well in Brachos. Doesn't say it here, but in Brachos on Daf Chav, Rashi says that. That when it says the Ketanim Apturin, not only are they Pater Al Pidin, there's no Chiv of Chinuch vis-a-vis the Mitzvah of Tefillin. So you should be aware of the fact that the Balo Itur makes his comment by Tefillin, in Hilchos Tefillin. He learns it out from the phrase of Katna Hayodea Lifros Eskapov. I don't know how the Balo Itur will react to the rest of the Braisa. Does he also mean that by Lulav? Does he also mean that by Talus? Does he also mean that by Talus? Yeah.
Long as the Balo Itur is raising this, what's the din of godless? I mean, is it 13... or is it Shtei Saros? Or what's the relationship between those?
It's an excellent question. It's a machloikis harishayinim as usual. Some rishayinim claim that the only sign mida oraisa is Shtei Saros. That's it. And that Yud Gimel Shanim is a din in Rav. The majority of young adults who are at age 13 have 2 pubic hairs. And according to those Rishayim, if a child around that age is going to try to be motzi harabim yidei chavasan, we will tell him to drop his pants first. For example, by Tkiya Shofar, you get this excellent Bal Tukeya, and he's exactly Bar Mitzvah on Rosh Hashanah. Okay, Rosh Hashanah is his Bar Mitzvah. He wants to blow the Shofar to be motzi achem yidei chavasan. Some Rishayim say, To let him daven for the Yamid, it's a din d'rabbanan. It's not a din d'oraisa. So we'll rely on the Rav. But where it's efshar livarure, by a din d'oraisa, where it's possible to ascertain whether he is a d'oraisa, whether he's an adult or not, you have to take him into the office and say, can you please drop your pants, let me see if you have shtei saros. Fine. That's one group of Rishayim. The Rambam is of the opinion, based on Rav Chaim's understanding, that there are 2 criteria. Yud Gimel Shanim in itself is a Kaveya, and Shtei Saros is a Kaveya. So if you have no birth certificate, I don't know when your kid was born, I don't know when he's born. He has Shtei Saros, he's an adult. The only time the Gemara itself negates it, what happens if you have his birth certificate? I know he's only 12 and a half, and he has Shtei Saros. I'm not a doctor. But the Gemara says, that's not pubic hair. Shuma ba'almahu. I don't know what shuma, it's translated as fuzz. It's a little fuzz. It's not really shtei sa'arot. I can't explain it. I don't know what it means. I don't know what it means. What?
It's fuzzy.
It's fuzzy, yeah, that's right. I don't know what it is. I don't know.
So
but according to the Rambam, both dinim are midah oraisa. According to Rab Chaim, understands the Rambam.
So you both?
No, either or would be enough. And then there's a third group of Rishayim, so you need both.
So would it be possible to suggest that the term katan here is referring to the chronological age, and you could solve the problem of the Gemara and the Gila of katanos by saying he's under 13, but he's brought, but the fact that he's brought Shtei Saros, that's what's matter him to Duchen.
Could be. So why would you say Why only duchening is that? Would be that a criteria?
Because that's a public manifestation, right, of God, of Dindo Raisa. He's being, even if it's, you know, Yachid,
okay.
You're right. It could have been if he was Tukei Shofar, he would also be. You could also be Paul Reis.
That's possible. It's possible. Not saying no. So that's the Bala Itur and Rashi. Now, how would the Bala Itur even react? You all objected. Katan Hayudea Lidaber Aviv Melamdo Torah Kriyashma. So here already, many Rishonim already say that even though these lines are in this Brisa, I'm going to make a statement, you give me the answer. I'm telling you, when you teach your son Torah Tziva Lanu Moshe Marash Kilos Yaakov and Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad, you are not being Mekayim the mitzvah of Chinuch. What other mitzvah are you being Mekayim? Correct. You're being Mekayim the mitzvah of Talmud Torah. The Pasuk says Vishinantam Levanecha. And the way Chazal have understood Vishinantam Levanecha, in this particular case, Levanecha does not mean what? Adults. Because, I'll tell you why. Because if he's an adult, he's Chayiv himself. Levanecha, when there is an obligation upon what? And from a parent to an adult, to a child, it always means in the Torah that the child is a minor. I'll give you two illustrations. What? Yes, okay, but it doesn't say the word katan. It doesn't say child. Yes, right. It says, v'yolda zachar. Yeah, bris mila, okay. But even more compelling. Parshas Emor. Right? V'yomar Hashem el Aaron. Emor el ha-kohanim v'omar ta'alehim. What's Rashi's comment? Lahazir gidoilim alaktan. That's not a katan who's reached bar mitzvah. Because a katan who reached bar mitzvah, I don't need an adult to tell me he's not to be lo yitam, he's not to be mitami lemeis. This is an adult parent is not allowed to tell his kid, go into the cemetery, my wallet isn't there. He violates an isa d'oraisa by doing so. We recited yesterday, we made Kiddush. So many people have the practice of saying, Zochoros Yom HaShabbos L'Kadshai. Lo sa'aseh kol melacha. Ata u'bincha u'bitecha. What age are bincha u'bitecha? Minors. If they were adults, they're included in the word ata. There's an isa d'oraisa to ask your minor child to do a melacha for you. Isa d'oraisa. So if there's no Eruv, ask your kid to carry a talis and shul, to shul, and he's a doraisa. If he turns on his television himself, that's nothing. But you can't instruct a child to engage in Chilul Shabbos. So that's Dora. So when the word Livanecha appears in the Torah text, it's talking about a minor child. So what's happening here, this illustration is not a mitzvah chinuch. It happens to be brought here because it's like part of it. But it's not the mitzvah chinuch. So now the Bryce asks very well, at what age must you begin the mitzvah of Talmud Torah for your child? When do you have to start teaching Torah to your child? Answers the Gemara. You are now obligated to begin teaching when he can start talking. When he starts talking, under those circumstances, you can... Good. And Kriya Shema is the same thing. There is a Rambam in Perek Aleph of Hilchos Yesodei HaTorah Halacha Zayin, which writes that part of the mitzvah of Talmud Torah is recognizing that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the origin of Torah. Part of the mitzvah of Talmud Torah is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is author of Torah. Part of that mitzvah is that part of the mitzvah is to understand it. and that we learn not because it is intellectually challenging and satisfying, but because through Torah we are servicing HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And for this reason, the Kaddish, the oldest Kaddish in the Gemara, is Kaddish to Rabbanah. Only one exact, Midinah the Gemara. Kaddish the Agadita. Why? Because there used to be people who came to the academies who would just come for the intellectual gymnastics that used to take place between Beis Hillel and Beis Shammai and walk out and go straight to the movies on Friday night after they had a good shiur. So they wanted to demonstrate that there's got to be some connection between Talmud and Ma'aseh. How did they do so? They introduced Kabbalas all Malchus Shemayim at the end of Talmud Torah. What is Kaddish? Kabbalas all Malchus Shemayim. Yisgadal v'yisgadash. To be Mekabel, Yehi Shem Hashem Mevarach, Yehi Shmei Rabba. To be Mekabel Malchus Shemayim. Therefore, these two illustrations in the Gemara are not based on the mitzvah of Chinuch, but rather the mitzvah of Talmud Torah. And since they are part of the mitzvah of Talmud Torah, therefore, it happens to be here because it's talking about a minor. But those two lines in itself would not present a challenge to the Baloitor, because this is not the mitzvah of Chinuch. This is a mitzvah d'oraisa of the mitzvah of Talmud Torah. That as soon as your kid knows how to talk, you should teach him two elements. The first pasuk of Shema, and here is the proof to the pudding. We stated at the very outset that in order to have the mitzvah of Chinuch, you have to be able to fulfill the mitzvah Bishlei Musa. What is the full mitzvah of Kriya Shema according to the Rambam? I told you last week the Ramban, only one pasuk. Rashi, Rambam, all three parashas. All three. Rashi, the first parak. Rabbeinu Yonah, first two prakim. Rambam, all three prakim. Midoraisa. So why do I have to teach him this pasuk? Apparently it's not midin, the mitzvah of Kriya Shema, but it's the ancillary to Talmud Torah. That even at the very beginning, as he starts his process of learning, the child has to be aware of the fact that part of the mitzvah of Talmud Torah is to subdue him to service unto HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and therefore Pasuk Rishon, Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad, automatically suffices. Suffices. All right, we'll stop here. And we'll continue. And what's next week? It's the 13th. I think it's okay. Regular Monday night. Hopefully, nothing going on.